This episode is sponsored by Long Beach Transit. Skip the campus parking stress this semester, because with a Go Beach Pass in your pocket,
bussing is easy.
Get yours today by visiting rideobt.com/CSUOB. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 10 of Teed Up, where everyone's a sports expert.
The podcast that makes you care about sports.
We're an original podcast created and produced by Long Beach State student-run newspaper, The Daily 49er. I'm Naoki.
I'm Maddie G.
Maddie, I'm going to let you take this one because this is your doing. You did this. You kind of built this together on your own this week. So I want you to, I'm going to take a little step back here, drink some of my water, and I'm going to let you cook.
Yeah, I mean, you were at ACP a couple weeks ago, and I had my opportunity to run with it, and I'm still running with it. So I was able to set up a really interesting interview here with Sam Blum from The Athletic, Angels beat writer. I know you also cover the National Beat occasionally as well. Syracuse graduate, and then big time fan of the beach.
How did that come about?
So I moved here in 2021, in like June 2021. And I'm a big college basketball fan. Like, I grew up in New York City, and I grew up going to Columbia basketball games, which is another kind of small random school. Not that random, but everyone knows Columbia, but not for basketball necessarily. And you know, I went to Syracuse, and I like small time D1 hoops. Like, to me, that's way more pure form of the game. So I live like 2 minutes from the arena, from the pyramid, which is, by the way, that's another part of it. I mean, going to games at the pyramid is a special, it's just a special venue. And, you know, there's nothing that's really like that. Even when you just drive around Long Beach and you see it, it stands out. And I think it's really cool. I just love going to the games. And more importantly, like, I really love the way that they play it. And I like the players. Like, you know, it's cool, like, getting to see a guy like Jadon Jones and Abubakar Traore. Like, those are like, they seem like really good people, and really grounded people. Not just them, but a lot of them, a lot of the guys on that roster. And it's just, I think, a special team. And I'm sure we'll talk about Dan Munson on this podcast, but man, I'm, you know, it's a little tough. I just, like, being in Henderson last week was, there was nothing like it. I don't think I've ever been happier as a fan, just the reward of seeing that happen. So, you know, I cover sports all the time. Like you said, you know, I cover the Angels. I think if you're I know you, Matt, are an Angels fan. Like, if you read my coverage, like, I'm pretty harsh on them. And I think for a lot of very justified reasons, and really a pretty cynical sports writer. But when it comes to the teams I love, like, I'm just like any fan that's like an Angels fan, really. You know, you're just kind of like, you get wrapped up in it, you're delusional about it, and every once in a while it really pays off, and the beach made it pay off this week. So you know, I'm still glowing about it, even though they lost yesterday.
Honestly, that was like a perfect analogy, because I'm super cynical when I write about Long Beach. Nick and I were just talking about it.
Yeah,
I came for Dan Munson a lot over like the last 2 years, and then full swing just like this last week, all I've wanted to write about is like how good of a guy he is, how much he led this team, this program. And then on the Angels side, it's like, I have so much copium. I will like sit and tell people that the Angels are making the playoffs every year, no matter what. As much as I know it's not happening, I want to believe it, and I make it seen. But like, I was so I was happy when Munson got initially like fired, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's like not a very binary thing for Munson, in my opinion. Like, you know, and I think he would acknowledge this. Like, they had struggled a lot. I mean, I expected them to be really great this year, given their roster, and they weren't, really. They had a bad year, in my opinion, overall. But, you know, all that matters is March, really. I mean, that's what these tournaments are all about. Like, it's what can you set yourself up to do when you get to that conference tournament? And to me, like, their ability to win that thing was very much a reflection of him. It wasn't a lucky run. I mean, those guys came out and played for him, and they just had that, they had that talent in them all year. So it was cool to see it. You know, I mean, I also want the beach to be successful, and I wasn't seeing that happen necessarily. But, you know, my opinion's, you know, I want him. I want him back. I hope if you're watching this, you know, Bobby Smitherin or whoever, like, hire them.
I mean,
I'm saying this as a beach fan, not an athletic writer. As a beach fan, I want him back. I think he's earned that. And I think that, you know, all he's done this week is show how he represents the school and show how he represents his players, and he represents himself very highly. And I hope they recognize that. And you know, you don't want to lose these guys to the transfer portal either, which I'm concerned about happening. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of discussions as to who stays, who's leaving. Like, we have a lot of seniors that are graduating who have been a part of his core. And then we have Abubakar and Lucina Traore, who have been here the past 3 years playing underneath him. And then we just had AJ George, who kind of made a pretty big name for himself these past 2 years. And even Jadon Jones, who's a Long Beach kid through and through. But I think Maddie actually kind of represents the greater Long Beach State fandom in terms of alumni and present, more specifically the alumni, because the alumni, for the bigger part of, from what I've seen these past 2 years, is, you know, you look at every post that the athletics department puts out on the men's basketball page, which is, get Munson out, get him out of here, get him out of here, he's been here too long, get some new blood in here. And then all of a sudden, he gets let go a couple of days before the conference tournament, and all of a sudden there's this uproar of like, oh, it's not fair to him, why'd they do that to him? So you've expressed that you want him back. Is there any part of you that even feels remotely that, like, maybe, because he's been here 17 years, it's been over 10 years since he had made the national championship tournament, is there any part of you that says maybe some new blood or some new leadership might just be what this team needs?
I mean, I think that you could go either way on it. The reason why I think he deserves at least one more year, and it is because of the roster. Like, the way that that team performed, you know, you don't want to, like, I don't think necessarily that, like, a new AD or even, like, a president, like, a person in leadership realizes, like, the talent you have with, like, a Lasina Traore and a Abubakar Traore. You know, you can hire a new coach, but you're not going to get that level of a player. At least I don't think. Like, that would take a lot. And I don't think people realize, like, how good they are. Like, those guys could enter in the portal and they would make a ton of money and they would go to a P5 school in a heartbeat. So for me, like, you know, you spent years developing those players into what they are. Like, you don't want to just lose that. And not only him, I mean, you talked about AJ George. I think that guy can be an first team all conference player next year. I really believe that. I think Jadon Jones should have been at least a second team conference player this year. I mean, I watched him left beat Big West basketball to tell you that Jadon Jones is one of the best there is in the conference. Like, he might not have the points per game and stuff, but the guy, he brings him energy, which is, you know, in some ways not tangible, but in some ways, if you watch the games, it very much is. And his defense is elite. Like, he's just so long, and they could switch up defenses really well, and he's going to be good no matter where he is. So I don't want to lose those players. And I think that, you know, they all came out and played with each other, for each other. So, you know, they have a good chemistry. They've built something. They showed that they can get to the NCAA tournament. I think what they really need is a point guard. That was an issue this year, as it was last year.
Yeah.
And if you have a point guard, I think that allows them to actually play their style a little bit. I'm just going on now. You want to play fast, but you can't really play fast if you're, like, you know, throwing outlets to your center every time, which I think was part of the issue. You need somebody like when Joel Murray was there, and I love that he's still on the staff and everything. He was great for that, in my opinion. But they didn't have that this year, and certainly didn't have it last year.
That point guard thing kind of hit. It hit. So one of the big things that happened at the end of last season was we brought in Messiah Thompson and we brought in Issa Silva in the transfer portal. And that was one of the things that I felt like addresses that exact same issue that you're talking about, having that lead guard, that playmaker, that guy that can run a half court offense. Because as talented as Marcus Sahonis is as a player, as a scorer, he's not a playmaker. And they label him as a point guard, but he's really not a point guard. He's more of a scoring.
You know, I think
guard.
He can be a playmaker. It's just sometimes he takes awful shots. Like, and it's just like, yes. when those lights are really bright, like, he's so good and he's able to, like, when he played USC, like, that's when he is a great playmaker. When he's just, like, playing a random game, like, on a Thursday night, I don't know if he views it as I don't want to put thoughts or words in his mouth, but it just doesn't always look like that same level is there every time. And I know he's dealt with some groin injuries. He's dealt with, like, ankle injuries. And so that's certainly, I mean, he's, in terms of natural talent, I don't think there's many more out, like, in that, like, he could have been a Big West player of the year, in my opinion, if he was fully healthy and he was, like, playing good defense and he took some better shots. And that's not a huge difference between what he was and what he could have been.
Yeah.
But he can be that playmaker, but I agree, you need a real point guard. You need someone who's a true point guard.
And that's what I felt like Issa Silva and Messiah Thompson were. Messiah Thompson, he's been playing college hoops for 6 years now, so he has that veteran experience. And Issa Silva was a proven, talented, gifted passer coming out of high school. And even he had a rough stint at Stanford before he transferred here. And then, I mean, Issa and I, we've become good friends. Him and I talk a lot. And, you know, I've always felt like he could be doing more, but he's just not getting the playing time to do it because he's essentially playing behind two lead guards with Marcus and Messiah Thompson. So he was never going to get the run that I felt like he deserved, or that I felt like would mesh really well with this squad. And the question I want to ask you is, what do you think is more likely to happen? Munson comes back on a 1 year. They hire from outside or they promote from within with this new coach vacancy?
I think the most likely is they're going to hire from the outside. I mean, this is a new AD who's got, you know, he's got connections to San Diego State. I would think that might be a place he could go. I'm not saying I know that for a fact. It's just, you know, I think that makes some logical sense. Not saying he's going to hire their head coach or anything, but, you know, there are assistants on there and there could be other people, you know, in his orbit as he's come across or even just, you know, through the interview process. I think it's important that they get someone in quickly. I mean, at this level of college hoops, like you need, you know, the portal's been open now for about 5 days. And so when that happens, I mean, all these players are getting reached out to by various schools and nobody from Long Beach State is reaching out to them as far as I'm aware. So you don't want to lose opportunities. You know, I do feel for Issa. I mean, this is a guy, like you said, he was like really highly rated coming out of high school, like one of the highest rated players. And he did struggle this year. I mean, I understand why he lost playing time. I think that when he was on the court at times, like, and it's a really tough balance. Like how much do you play a guy to get him in a groove versus how much do you kind of have to just like weigh, you know, that he's not performing at that level and make tough choices. And I think that you're right. By the end of it, he was probably getting like 5 to 7 minutes a game. And it's not, you're just not going to get in a rhythm like that. But I mean, it was nice. I really enjoyed, like after they won the championship, he actually came up to me, my friend, he was like thanking us and saying he sees us at every game. And I appreciated that. And it seems like the whole team seems like good people. Like that's why I like them. Like they just seem like a nice group. Like, you know, I know that I'm sure there are characters on there. I'm sure there are dramas on there, but you know, like they came together and they won that thing. And I felt like that was a very much a validation of going to the games and being supportive of them. But yeah, I mean, they need to hire a coach quick. I don't think it's likely they're going to bring Dan back. It just doesn't seem like that. I don't think it's likely that they promote from within. I think that, you know, whoever they have there is probably very much loyal to Dan Munson. And, you know, you're going to want to give someone a little run. I mean, you know, it's if they were going to do that, I think they probably should have just, you know, maybe let Dan go in the middle of the year and promoted an interim and see, and, you know, and seen how that would have played out. But, you know, it didn't happen. And I think at this point, they're probably just going to go somewhere else.
As a reporter, do you ever find yourself like really rooting for a player after writing a story about them? Because Naoki wrote his profile on Issa. That's where his backing really started. Last year it was Tobias Rodegaard for me, where I was like, feed the ball to Toby. He shoots so well in practice.
Oh, is this, wait, you said Rodegaard?
Yeah, Tobias Rodegaard last year. I wrote a profile on him.
You know, they could have used him this year, I felt like.
He was good.
We were one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the nation. We were so bad. I mean,
they have like two shooters. I mean, they just don't have shooters. That's like, this is like the issue is, you know, with Messiah, like even he just, I don't think he matched up that well in this league necessarily. And he probably didn't get that much run as, you know, it was just tough. Like he played against UC Santa Barbara, like 24 points, like couldn't, you know, or more than that, even he was just couldn't miss and just wasn't enough of that. Wasn't enough. They did not have enough shooting. But yeah, if you can answer your question, Matt, like, you know, I think you try to avoid that to some extent. I think like it's important. I think like it's, you know, you're obviously, I have players on the Angels I have very good relationships with, and I have players on the Angels that like I really don't even talk to. And I think that, you know, you don't want to let that become like the way that you cover them. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think that's important. You don't want to like go easy on someone because they're nice to you and answer your questions. And you don't want to like be harsh on someone because they don't. Mm-hmm. That makes you more a part of it than you want to be, I think. But at the same time, I think there's this like natural human bias to be like, I like that guy. And it's like, I'm happy to see him do well just as a human being, you know, like I really, like I've gotten to know Taylor Ward pretty well. I really like, I mean, he got hit in pitch, you know, hit by a pitch mm-hmm. in the face last year. And he's always been polite, always been nice, like always made time when you ask for it. And I think like, yeah, like I would like to see Taylor Ward have a good year, not just as a reporter, but as someone that like watched him get hit in the face and mm-hmm. watched something awful happen to him. You know, you root for a comeback like that. And I think any reporter or any person in that orbit would feel the same way.
Glad you brought up Bobby. I have a bit of bone to pick with Bobby personally. We have a good working relationship, us and Bobby, but just the handling of everything, like the whole patting himself on the back quote. How did you feel about it?
I hated that yesterday. I mean, I'll start off by saying everyone in the athletic department's been so nice to us. Like, you know, like we have no real connection to this place, but like, you know, they're like every single time they're always coming up and saying hi, always being polite, always making sure I have information about where to go and stuff. But I totally agree with you on like, why are you saying that you caused this run? I mean, the only thing he should have said was this team made a special run. And I'm really proud to be the AD of that, you know, of this university. That would be the only thing I would have said.
Yeah. I mean, Monson rode like the high horse the entire time, and you like have the moment to give him the shine and just took it all away from him.
Yeah. That's Dan for you, though, man. That's why I like him.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to preserve that relationship. but I mean, no, I'm not disagreeing with you. What he did say was crazy. That was a crazy thing to say. And like, I almost agree with what you're saying, Sam. Like, he should have just said, they've been on a magical run. I'm really proud of them for getting it to getting to this point and getting a chance to compete in the tournament. And, but that whole, like, that also rubbed me the wrong way, but not to the point where, like, I'm going to make Bobby an op.
I think that everyone who's a Beach fan owes him the opportunity to make a hire and see how he does. I would say that, you know, at the end of the day, like, that's important in my opinion, that he gets an opportunity to make his hire. And like, it's tough. He was in a tough, it's a tough situation. You're letting go of a beloved coach for after 17 years, 'cause you think it's the right decision. And I don't fault him for that personally. Like, I want him to come back, but at the same time, like, I don't fault people for making tough choices. You have to win that job. I just hope he makes the right choice, and I hope that he at least considers that what Dan did the last week, you know, and really the last 17 years. And you have a great week, but that's a foundation that you've built, right? Like, that's trust that you built with players in a relationship. And I understand there's nuance to the situation, that like, even Dan was willing to resign. I understand that there's that, but maybe what he said is true. Like, maybe he did do it for that reason, but I thought that was just like the wrong thing to say. He said it like 2 hours before the game. Just like, I thought it was just, I mean, I, it gave, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I have a little bit less benefit of the doubt after that. I feel like, okay, that's a strike against you, but you know what? He's earned the right to make the choice that he wants to make. You know, I'm excited to see you. He seems like a bright person and he seems like a good guy. And I'm excited to see what's next for this program. I'll be rooting for them.
Yeah. Do you follow the Dirtbags?
A little bit. I've been to like a couple of games. I actually went to the game on like a, was it Tuesday night? But that was the only one I've been to this year. I don't really know their team very well. I just like going to Bull Diamond, and it's a nice venue, and it's like, you know, this time of year it's kind of nice just to sit out and watch a ball game and chill. But I would not say like I'm a huge like Dirtbags fan. I will say though, during the conference tournament, my buddy and I went to all the women's games that they played, and I've Amy Wright, I think, is a really, really strong coach. So what she's done the first year, in my opinion, is really impressive, considering they lost almost their entire roster and had a ton of turnover. And really, I think they struggled like the first half of the conference season quite a bit, and then just like went on a run. So, man, there's a runway for them to have quite a, you know, I think Long Beach State is in general should be a pretty strong basketball school. So hopefully they figure that out too, and you know, start winning some conference titles.
Love that you mentioned Amy Wright, friend of the pod.
Yeah, she's also been on our show.
Yeah, she seems like a really, really bright coach. So that's, you know, I think if you're a Beach fan, like, hopefully people support the women's team too, because they're, you know, they were really fun. I love like Jada Crawshaw. Like, she was really great. She was a really fun player to watch. Pat Chung, really great player too. I'll probably be a fan of. I don't know if I can go to every single game, like, but especially since they both play at the same time during the conference season. But you know, I'll be following along quite a bit, because I was a fan of how they played and the players on their team.
So we have a pretty big staple of our show is, so this is our third season into this, and we've been able to do some food related sports segment where we talk about weird foods in sports. So we've had things like a chickle, which is like a barbecue buffalo chicken, stuffed into a pickle. We had banana related stuff last season. So this year is all Frank's. It's all hot dog related, kind of like sports food trivia. Maddie here actually is the main host of this segment. So this is
this is a Frank break.
Yeah. So he's going to have you sit back.
Am I part of some advertisement now?
No. This has just like been like completely like spurred onto us. Like, we just kind of came up with it on the fly. It started off with pickles. Now we're at hot dogs. So Maddie, I want you to take us away here, bro.
Yeah. I mean, you being a beat reporter in the MLB, I feel like this question's got to be a layup for you, but. Do you know what baseball team held a hot dog related promotion that was potentially responsible for saving a life?
I'm trying to think of like, you know, hot dog related teams. I mean, who does like the hot dog race? Is it like Milwaukee or?
That one's Milwaukee, yes.
So it's not Milwaukee.
No.
But then again, we got the Dodger dogs. I don't know if that could be.
We're thinking more dollar dogs.
Holler dogs. Who gives? Who's? So this is a major league team. You want me to?
This is a
Kind
major
of.
league team, yeah.
Okay. The Angels don't do dollar dogs, do they?
No, we do terrible promotions.
I was gonna say the like if the Angels are giving out $1 hot dogs, I'm not touching that.
We might have to just try Angel Dollar Dogs for the content.
I don't want to know what's in those hot dogs. No, I'm sure all Angels food is clean and delicious. I'm just gonna go with the Reds. I'm gonna go with the random team. Let's go with the Reds. Tell
That's a
me if I'm
good
right.
guess, but no, that'd be like Skyline Chili, I'm thinking. But no, it's the
Okay, yeah.
Phillies. Phillies.
Philly? Okay. That's okay.
They did
I
Dollar
can see
Dog
that.
Night, and a fan ate so many hot dogs he got his stomach pumped and then found out he had cancer.
Whoa.
Wow.
Little baseball tidbit. Gotta love them.
Nice.
That is good.
And then how many stadiums have you visited by now?
You know, I've been to all of them except for the Rockies.
Oh, really?
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's like the
I want to go
only
to
oddball
Colorado.
team I've been
It's like
to.
close. It's not that far, and it's a, like probably one of the nicest ballparks in the game. So, and they have, you know, even despite having an awful team, they have a really good fan base. So
So,
that'd
as
be
a
a cool.
representative then of 29 teams, who's got the best hot dog that you've had?
I don't really even like hot dogs, to be honest with you. So when you were going
Whoa.
down the hot dog track, I was like, I might not be good for this answer because I'll eat a hot dog if there's nothing else to eat.
Are you a pickle person?
Yes, I'll eat pickles.
Oh,
Ooh.
no.
We should have had you the first season, season
Ah,
one.
I know.
All right.
Okay.
And then the last thing I have, this one, you can just give me a yes or no here. I don't know how tapped in you are to the Angels beat fully, but have you heard about the Weenie Wednesday event in the Angels clubhouse? It was back
Weenie
with,
Wednesday?
yeah, back with Eric Ibar, Albert
Oh,
Calypso.
this predates me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have
Oh,
not.
no.
Okay, we'll leave it
We're
there.
gonna leave it
Maybe
there.
educate
Okay.
yourself on this one. Crazy thing related to hot dogs, Eric Ibar, Albert Calypso, Weenie Wednesday, Angels
Like, you know,
clubhouse.
there's like, sir, there's like, this maybe is ringing a bell for me, but I couldn't tell you much about it. I need to go and look it up, and I'm sure whatever I find will be
It's something.
not safe for work or
Yes.
For your sake, I would suggest you don't, perhaps. And if any of you
I won't
listening,
do it on my work laptop. How
yeah,
about
there you go.
that? Yeah. If any of you guys are listening or watching this, please do not look this up. This story is actually outrageous. The way that Maddie explained this to me, I was like, what is going on? There's no way this happened. But
You
okay.
know, you gotta love your team, every bit of it, bad and all. Gotta love the Angels.
Word.
Angels are, I don't think they're gonna. I mean, we'll see what happens. I think, like you would say, you're always a fan of, you know, you're always believing they make the playoffs every year. Not as a Mets fan, like growing up, I would be the same way, even with the same outlook, pretty much every year. But you know, I mean, I just think that this is what they do to their fans. They try to give you just enough to piece together a puzzle in your mind that it could all work out, and then see people buy tickets and they go, and then it's there's no real foundation there, and it kind of all falls apart. But hey, at least, you know, it's March 22nd right now, so there's hope. There's hope on the horizon, 6 days away. I was a little nervous, to be honest with you, if the Beach went to like the Sweet 16. I gotta go to Baltimore for opening day. I was like I was
Got
like,
the
they're gonna be
flights.
playing in Los Angeles in the Sweet 16, and I'm not gonna be able to go.
We would have covered you, bro. We would have got you.
I was like, I'm gonna have to, like, you know, fake some family emergency. I'm joking. But in case you're watching this, my boss is no. I was nervous about that, but you know, I would have gladly taken it for a Sweet 16 berth.
Oh my gosh. So then I guess what the last question to cover to kind of close things out. You've been, like you said before the show, you've been kind of been a lot of your time recently has been taken up by the whole kind of Shohei Ohtani situation. What's it been like kind of just being in the trenches of all of this, covering it all?
You know, I mean, covering Ohtani in and of itself was such an interesting, well, like, experience for, and I still do it, you know, as obviously just, you know, slightly different capacity, but it's, you know, this story in particular is like kind of depressing because I mean, I like Ipe and I've gotten to know him, you know, fairly well, and I think he's a really nice guy. And it's just like, I think the toughest thing is I've covered stories. Like, I wrote a really massive story on Scott Spezia, who was an Angels World Series hero,
Great
about his
story.
addiction. And then, you know, I've covered you know, Tyler Skaggs's death and an Angels pitcher who died from an overdose, and obviously the, you know, Angels employee Eric Kay, who's in prison now for 22 years, also was an addict. So I have some sympathy for people that are going through, you know, addictions. I mean, I think that gets lost in this whole conversation to some extent. Obviously, there's legal components to all this, just like Eric Kay, like I said, is sitting in prison right now. you know, you pay the price. You lose your friends, you lose your lifestyle, you lose your freedom in some senses when you become addicted. And so I just, you know, I feel for the people involved, but you know, covering Ohtani is always an adventure. It's always like a there's always a drama, and he really keeps things private. So I imagine this is quite you know, disorienting for him and for everyone in his orbit who are typically pretty good at keeping their message on track. And now this is arguably the scandal of the century, and I'm not even being, you know, I'm not exaggerating on that. This is quite a story. So we'll see how it all plays out, and you know, I just hope that people get the help they need, and you know, justice is done as it, you know, as it is necessary.
I do have a couple more Angels questions if you got time.
Sure, sure. Yeah, go ahead.
This is the Angels guy right here, so.
Yeah. I won't stick to too much of the team. I mean, I like to think I'm analytically charged and I do think we have hope, but we don't. Let's be real. But just like covering the beat, you already said you're a cynical writer. Angels fans, I know on Twitter, give you a lot of pushback for not being a homer. Just kind of
No,
how
I
do you
think a
put up with
lot of
that?
fans. I think you get a decent split. I feel like there's a lot of fans. I hear from more than sometimes the ones on Twitter are a little bit whatever, but you know, you hear from you really read the comments and the stories. I think, you know, most people are appreciative of, you know, their bad team being covered like it needs to be.
Yeah. And then I do kind of love that because just like coming into the beat, I mean, you took over Fabian's job, you moved on to the Dodgers, and then having like Jeff Fletcher kind of getting those like keys to the reins. How did the other reporters help you kind of fill into this beat? And then you joined right as Ohtani really exploded.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know how much those guys helped me. I love Jeff. I wouldn't say he helped me much, but yeah, we're good buddies. But yeah, I mean, I just think like it's, you know, covering the team. I think that when I came in there, my feeling was, okay, this team has not made, and at that time, it had been 7 years since they had made the playoffs in 2021. So you know, you have to ask yourself like I think whenever you're writing anything, you got to ask yourself what's like the reason you're writing it. So to me, it's always like, well, why can't they win, right? Why at that time they had Ohtani, who was just becoming an incredible superstar. You had Mike Trout, who had, you know, was hurt but had was still right there in that prime window of his career. Why is it they're not winning games? What is it that's fundamentally wrong here? And I think if you go and look through the coverage for 3 years, you know, there is a fundamental like thesis to that, you know, trying to understand it, whether that's how they treat their minor league players, whether that's, you know, the what the resources they put into their you know, player development, and their major league, you know, coaching staff, and then all the things that, you know, you need, like scouts and analytical people, and just like all the little ways that the Angels have failed their organization, in my opinion. I think that a new owner probably would be, I don't, you know, you never know who the new owner is going to be, but I mean, the current owner just doesn't seem to will need to invest, feel the need to invest in certain things, and so you just got to keep calling it out. You got to keep writing about it. You got to keep holding them accountable to it, and hopefully, at some point, there's you know, there's some change. It just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, and then what kind of frustrations and like difficulties have you encountered kind of like working with Artie Moreno, Capriccia, just like the holdback they have on you for talking to assistant coaches, all these
Yeah, that's the
things?
kind of stuff that I really find to be just counterproductive. Like, why are you not allowing us to talk to coaches? I think that was just, you know, like he banned me from the radio station. I don't need to go on the radio station, but I just think stuff like that is indicative of kind of how they operate at times. Like, why are you not allowing us to talk to coaches? Almost every other team allows that. It's yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like he's not like I don't think he's often like stay, you know, getting in my way. Like they're not like that hands-on in my opinion. But you know, some of those key decisions that they've made, and thankfully so far this year we've been able to talk to coaches. So we'll see if that continues. But it's you know, I think he's just it's just like it's this belief that the media shouldn't necessarily have that freedom and that they really need to have in order to be able to do their jobs properly. You know, he hasn't talked to me in over a year now, and it had been like almost 2 years before he did for the first time. And you know, he did that interview this year with just Jeff Fletcher. I have no issue with that. That's his prerogative. He can talk to whoever he wants, but you know, I don't think the questions go away, and I don't think the criticism of him goes away. And that's what I would say. I don't know how many Angels fans are listening to this podcast, but you know, if he's he's just he's not done the job to get this team to the playoffs or the postseason. And if they do, I think it will be in spite of his actions and not because of them.
Yeah, and then just the last thing is, do you think some of that pushback did come after the whole minor league expose and just like writing about the treatment of players?
If so, I take some pride in that. You know, I wouldn't change anything. you know, that's how you got to cover this stuff. Like I felt very strongly, but like, and I got pushback not just from Artie, like it would be from other people in the organization and at times, like, you know, who are more directly involved in this stuff. And it's like, and I say to them every time, like, this is a human rights issue. Like, you know, I went down there, I went to AA, I saw where the way these guys were living with, like, you know, it was infested with bugs. They had no like places to like sleep. It was disgusting. And it was not the way human beings should be living, especially pro athletes that you're hoping to advance through your system. So I had no issues with pissing people off on that topic. I felt like that was a necessary story to really report.
Damn, I can see
And I give
why.
credit. I give credit to the people that talked to me for it, especially Michael Cruz.
I can see why you're Maddie's biggest role model. You guys just sound exactly alike.
I take that as a compliment based on this interaction.
No, I love that story. I mean, it's just like minor league baseball is such a journey already, and it's been made so much worse in the Angels org. And you start looking at our pipeline and how unproductive it is, and it just makes sense after everything you wrote.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's and it wasn't just the Angels that were doing this. I mean, I just think they were probably worse off than most teams.
Yeah.
Well, Sam, I want to thank you for joining us today, taking time out of your very busy day. It's been, like you said, you're probably breaking one of the biggest sports scandals of this century.
Oh, I wish I was breaking it. ESPN's been all over this
Oh, that
story,
is
so
true. They've been all over
kudos
it.
to them. I'm just basically writing what they're writing. So
And we did the same thing.
with this story, ESPN just owned it. So I mean, I got to give a hat tip to them.
I did love seeing Gustavo Arellano. Shout him out. That was my community college professor, like was part of that LA Times team on the story.
Oh, nice,
Yeah.
nice. That's good to hear.
Dang, okay.
Yeah. A little local coverage.
Nice. Well, Sam, I want to thank you for joining us, and I want to thank you guys for joining us on the season 3, episode 10 of Teed Up. Thank you to our video editor, Ellie Creighton, our producer, Aiden Swanepoel, and our multimedia producer, Elle Nicklin. If you want to stay up to date on the latest in Long Beach State sports, check out our website, daily49er.com, and follow us on socials at daily49er. Please read Sam Blum's stuff. He writes some great stuff for The Athletic. The Athletic is a website that we look up to as writers, and we read all the time. Check out his stuff. He's a great writer. And we'll catch you guys on the next one. Thank you to our sponsor, Long Beach Transit. Looking to study abroad this semester? Roll with us and see how chill getting to class can really be.
Grab your Go Beach Pass by visiting ridelbt.com/CSULB.